KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 9 o'clock, we have mostly sunny skies, 71 degrees in Atlantic. We look for a high today near 78. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by United Group Insurance with offices in Griswold and Atlantic. One person suffered a knee and possible other injuries Monday evening here in Atlantic when the bicycle he was riding was hit by a car near 7th and Plum Street. The Atlantic Police Department reports the bicycle driven by an unidentified individual was traveling westbound on the sidewalk near Great Western Bank at 1407 East 7th Street just before 6 p.m. when a vehicle struck the bike's rear tire, causing the bicyclist to fall off. The person was transported by medevac ambulance to the Cass County Hospital for treatment of possible injuries. The accident happened as a vehicle driven by Pamela Scow of Atlantic was traveling north in the exit drive from the bank. Scow stopped, but then continued forward, striking the bike. Damage from the accident amounted to $800. There were no citations issued. News time is 9:01.
It happens. You listen to the voice telling you about all the money you'll save when you call 1-800-CHEAP-INSURANCE or apply online. So you do it. You think you made a wise choice, and you know your premiums will be the lowest you could find. But did that 800 number voice tell you he'd be there if you had a claim? Or did you read the fine print online? This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance, your allied insurance agents in Atlantic. I hear it all the time from people who tell me they were told how cheap their premiums would be and that they bought the cheap coverage. But when it happened, they were left making phone calls, leaving messages, and playing phone tag. Then when the check came, it didn't come close. The problem is, cheap premiums don't necessarily mean premier service. When you give me the opportunity to serve you, you can trust that I'll do the research and show you a policy from Allied that will give you coverage to help you recover from the financial obstacles that can occur when it happens. Call me today, your Allied insurance agent in Atlantic. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
Well, May is National Bike Month, and the Iowa Department of Transportation says with the weather finally warming up, more and more people will be pedaling down the streets on two wheels. The DOT is joining the League of American Bicyclists in promoting May as National Bike Month. Officials say you can check around your workplace or community for activities related to these dates. Bike to School Day, which is May the 8th, Bike to Work Week, which is May 13th through the 17th, and Bike to Work Day, which is May 17th. They're also offering some safety tips from the Iowa DOT for bicyclists, and that includes wearing a helmet always, wearing bright-colored clothing rather than dark colors, especially at dusk and at dawn. Ride on the right and ride in the right lane except for when passing another vehicle, preparing for a left turn or avoiding hazards. Bicyclists should also never ride against traffic. Obey the traffic signals and signs. Make eye contact with motorists and never assume a motorist sees you or that you have the right of way. You should expect the unexpected, such as parked vehicles pulling into traffic, vehicle doors opening into your path, and debris on the road. Also, bicyclists should use a headlight, taillight, and reflectors when riding at night. Now, for motorists, sharing the road with bicyclists safely includes not honking your horn at bicyclists because they can be startled and lose control. You want to use extra caution when passing bicycles. Be aware that bicyclists might swerve to avoid road hazards. Be careful when opening your vehicle door, and when in doubt, yield to bicyclists. Elsewhere in the news, a Sioux City woman has been convicted of three charges stemming from a fatal collision between her pickup and a motorcycle. The Sioux City Journal reports 37-year-old Kimberly Pauley pleaded guilty last week to not having a valid driver's license and not having insurance. She entered an Alford plea to the charge of failing to yield while making a left turn. Under the plea, Pauley didn't admit guilt but acknowledged the prosecution likely could prove the charge. Police say that on September 27, Pauley turned her truck left in front of the motorcycle being driven by 25-year-old Cody Harris on the east side of Sioux City. Harris died at the scene. Pauley's sentencing is set for June 27. There is some movement in education reform discussions at the State House, but no breakthrough. Senate Democrats have agreed to accept the Republican proposal for a lower starting teacher salary of $33,500, and they've accepted the GOP's lower per pupil payments to school districts that enact new teacher improvement plans. Senator Herm Kornbach and other Democrats have also agreed with the GOP demand that schools be able to opt out and do nothing.
I think that that's a mistake, but, you know, it's a matter of trying to find some common ground.
The leading Republican negotiator accuses Democrats of making little effort to compromise and blasts Democrats for refusing to accept the GOP's teacher accountability proposals. Kornbach, the leading Democratic negotiator, says current tests cannot adequately measure teacher effectiveness.
There's a lot of research out there that says that the efforts so far have not led to any kind of consistent estimates where teachers bounce from the top group to the bottom group and back from one year to the next. That's not fair to the teachers, and it does nothing to help us improve education.
But Governor Branstad says his fellow Republicans in the legislature have a very reasonable proposal to start linking teacher pay with performance, and Democrats should accept it.
We need to do things that have accountability and that will improve student achievement.
The governor says he's been working on a teacher improvement program for 3 years, and it's time for legislators to act.
We need to have accountability, and if you look at what's happened in other states that have passed accountability measures, they have moved ahead of us. You even have states like Florida and Alabama that used to be really low that are now caught up with Iowa. And that's because they have accountability and we don't.
Branstad says despite spending millions of state tax dollars on reading programs in the early grades in the past decade, 1 in 4 Iowa students still aren't reading at their grade level. Governor Terry Branstad's health care proposal for low-income Iowa residents has received committee-level approval in the Republican-majority State House, but the Democratic-controlled Senate still favors expanding Medicaid. A House committee on Monday approved legislation for the Healthy Iowa Plan in a party-line vote. The plan revamps an existing program for low-income residents and would provide coverage to an estimated 89,000 people. It would be paid for with a mixture of state and federal dollars. Branstad opposes the Medicaid expansion permitted under President Obama's health care overhaul. He says the long-term costs are unsustainable. Branstad also says his plan will provide wellness incentives that will help Iowans. Democratic lawmakers argue that a Medicaid expansion will cover more people and cost the state less. Elsewhere in the news, after 3 years of discussions, Republican Governor Terry Branstad and Democrats in the legislature are far from a deal on property tax reform. Branstad unveiled a website Monday to try to pressure the legislators to pass new limits on residential property taxes and taxes on farmland, in addition to cutting commercial property taxes.
Well, the legislature is sometimes slow to act, but now's the time.
Branstad says the new state tax credit the Democrats propose for commercial property taxpayers does nothing for homeowners. Senate Democratic leader Mike Gronstall accuses Branstad of giving legislators conflicting messages.
For going on 3 years now, the governor has said the presenting problem is commercial property taxes. I understand today he shifted gears and said the problem is residential. I'm not sure which one he thinks is more important now.
Senator Joe Bolcom, a Democrat from Iowa City, said he's happy to discuss other tax-cutting ideas, including an income tax break he supports that's geared to low-income Iowans.
We have a lot of work to do in the coming weeks here to try and get to a compromise.
Branstad has twice vetoed an increase in the earned income tax credit.
I'm willing to consider other things as well, but I think it's critically important that the focus be on permanently reducing property taxes for not just commercial and industrial, but also for homeowners and farmers as well.
A calculator on Branstad's state government website can be used to find out the average savings a homeowner could get from the governor's property tax proposal. However, each county, school district, and city has different tax rates, so it cannot calculate the actual savings an individual homeowner would receive. Governor Branstad calls a television news report about a top staffer's travel expenses a bunch of baloney. Branstad on Monday slammed the report from WHO-TV in Des Moines about Iowa Economic Development Authority Director Debbie Durham. The report said Durham spent $73,000 on travel in one fiscal year on trips to Europe and other locations. Branstad said Durham is seeking business opportunities for the state and has helped to grow jobs in Iowa, citing the recent announcement that Facebook Incorporated will build a data center in Altoona as an example. He says Durham works long hours and has a tremendous track record. The television reports that Durham's travels included five-star hotel stays and first-class plane tickets. Iowa's previous economic development directors spent far less than Durham in a single year. And finally, in state news, a real estate agents group estimates high-quality cropland in Iowa is worth $11,515 an acre. The Realtors Land Institute, made up of people specializing in farm and land sales, management, and appraisal, says the average value is up 9.4% from September of 2012. The Des Moines Register reports Northwest Iowa had the most expensive land at $13,387 per acre. And those surveyed were asked to estimate average values as of March 2013. The soaring prices are due largely to high prices for commodities such as corn and soybeans that have put farmers in a position to buy land as well as low interest rates. Taking a look at news from around the world, U.S. intentions in Syria could be among the topics as President Barack Obama holds a news conference this morning at the White House. Yesterday, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said the U.S. and its allies are still trying to figure out the details of Syria's suspected use of chemical weapons against its own people. And for the second day in a row, there has been fear and chaos in a busy commercial district of Syria's capital of Damascus. A powerful bomb rocked the area today, and Syrian TV says 13 people were killed. Yesterday, just a few miles away, Syria's prime minister narrowly escaped an assassination attempt after a car bomb near his convoy. Retired Pope Benedict moves into his retirement home in the Vatican Gardens this week. The 86-year-old Pontiff Emeritus had been living at the papal residence in Castel Gandolfo in the hills south of Rome since he resigned on February 28th. The Vatican says Benedict will move on Thursday to a monastery that has been renovated for his use, and a small staff will join him. Stocks are lower, or mostly lower anyway. The start of trading this morning on Wall Street, the S&P 500 opened at an all-time high. The Federal Reserve is beginning a two-day policy meeting today, taking yet another look at historically low U.S. interest rates. I'll have a check of the funeral announcements coming up next.
It happens. You listen to the voice telling you about all the money you'll save when you call 1-800-CHEAP-INSURANCE or apply online. So you do it. You think you made a wise choice, and you know your premiums will be the lowest you could find. But did that 800 number voice tell you he'd be there if you had a claim? Or did you read the fine print online? This is Donnie Drennan from United Group Insurance, your allied insurance agents in Atlantic. I hear it all the time from people who tell me they were told how cheap their premiums would be and that they bought the cheap coverage. But when it happened, they were left making phone calls, leaving messages, and playing phone tag. Then when the check came, it didn't come close. The problem is, cheap premiums don't necessarily mean premier service. When you give me the opportunity to serve you, you can trust that I'll do the research and show you a policy from Allied that will give you coverage to help you recover from the financial obstacles that can occur when it happens. Call me today, your Allied insurance agent in Atlantic. United Group Insurance, people you know, people you trust.
In the funeral announcements, Irma Jensen, age 93, of Audubon, died Friday at the Friendship Home. Funeral services for Irma Jensen will be held today at 2 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Lloyd Sheldahl, age 82, of Avoca, died Friday in Omaha. Funeral services for Lloyd Sheldahl will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Irma Bro, age 98, of Exira, died Friday. Funeral services for Irma Bro will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Dwayne Kaiser, age 88, of rural Lewis, died Saturday. Funeral services for Dwayne Kaiser will be on Thursday at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Marion Hendricks, age 79, of Harlan, died Friday. Memorial services for Marion Hendricks will be this coming Friday at 11 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Dale Blomquist, age 69, of Greenfield, died Friday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Dale Blomquist will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the First Congregational Church in Stuart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stuart has arrangements. And Marilyn Erickson, age 70, of Griswold, died Sunday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Marilyn Erickson are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. The news was brought to you by United Group Insurance. People you know, people you trust.